From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, an assassination attempt of a Supreme Court justice, terror alerts in the U.S., and are Californians fed up? Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Wednesday of this week, we learned that a man with a gun was arrested outside of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home. He reportedly told police that he was there to kill the justice because of the leaked Supreme Court opinion on the Dobbs abortion case. Is this what Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer had in mind when he said that a whirlwind would be unleashed if Roe was overturned? Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Wednesday to discuss those events was Montana Senator Steve Daines.
Senator, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Tony.
First, can I get your reaction to the arrest of this man outside the home of Justice Brett Kavanaugh?
Well, I was up early this morning in Washington, and I was perusing through my Twitter feed, and I saw the news where this man was arrested the wee hours of the morning. Violence is never the answer. No matter what side you're on any issue, violence is never the answer. This is shocking. I feel just bad for Justice Kavanaugh and his family, you know, his sweet wife, his children. And here we are, Tony, is remember, it was over a month ago that we unanimously passed, unanimous. Now, not much gets done in the Senate with unanimous consent, but this did. It was a unanimous motion to beef up security for our Supreme Court justices. The House has been sitting on that for over a month. Tony, I just got to say, the hypocrisy that we're seeing where here they're getting geared up with ABC producers that now are hired with Schiff and the team there and the Democrats in the House to produce this made-for-TV January 6th hearings. So they're all wrapped around the axle on that, but they have doing nothing to lift a finger to move what we did in the Senate expeditiously to pass this provision that allows to beef up security for our Supreme Court justices. And I hope what happened this morning will be used for the good to get the House moving forward and get this done and on the president's desk.
Senator Daines, I mean, should we really be surprised by this when we hear such intense rhetoric from the other side? In fact, I want to go back a ways and play a clip of the Senate leader, Chuck Schumer. Listen to this.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
I mean, any surprise that there are lunatics out there that act on this type of rhetoric?
Not at all, Tony. And that's exactly what why that leak occurred from the Supreme Court on the Alito opinion, because it's an attempt to intimidate the Supreme Court to change their minds. Frankly, it's sickening. When I see those comments from Schumer, it's sickening because you are exactly right. There are deranged people in our country who will hear that and be motivated to take violent action. And we've got to take the temperature down in this moment of our history. And I think what Alito wrote in that draft opinion is so well written, so well argumented, argued in terms of his arguments. And that's why I just wish both sides just look at the facts and look at the legal opinion versus this craziness of wanting to intimidate and perhaps harm Supreme Court justices.
But Senator, you know as well as I do that facts are not what drive policy in Washington, D.C. We're seeing that play out right now with the gun control discussion, debate that's taking place. Look, it's a tragedy what's happened. But we're not looking at the facts. We're not looking at what is it that's in the heart of these young people that prompt them to do these types of heinous acts. We're talking about the instruments in their hand, not the void in their heart. And so we're pulling up people and making them recount tragic stories. It's all based on emotion, but not the fact. Not the facts that gun control doesn't work. I mean, we can see that. We see in Washington, D.C., some of the strictest gun controls laws in the country. But, yeah, we had a gunman come in and shoot one of our people. That's not the answer.
Tony's not the answer. And what's being lost, I think, in this discussion of what happened, the tragedy, Uvalde, Texas, is remember that school resource officer that was supposed to be on the post, would have been there to defend those children, was not there. Tony, imagine for a moment here in Washington, D.C., what if we had a couple Capitol Police officers who decided to abandon their post and left a door open, and some crazed gunman came into the U.S. Capitol and started to shoot? We would not be jumping to gun control. We'd be talking about what needs to be done to make sure that those Capitol officers were at their post defending the Capitol. Why isn't there more discussion about what happened with that school resource officer, what we need to do to harden our schools? Listen, we've raised four children. They've attended the schools back in Montana. I want my children to be safe, but you're exactly right. Until you get to the core issue, first of all, understanding evil that's present in our society and how we defend innocence, and that will be through hardening targets and having men and women who understand how to operate a firearm and to guard our schools. That is not that complicated, but needs to be done. And let's not forget, you know, my good friend, Dr. Oz Guinness, talks about the importance of virtue to have freedom. Yeah. Back to your point, Tony, on the depravity of man and the emptiness of the heart and the darkness of the heart of man. You can't have freedom without virtue, and you can't have virtue without faith. It's that triangle. That is so important. And we need to elevate that discussion in our country because the issues in our nation are bigger than just laws. The rule of law and the Constitution only work when you have virtue and true freedom of the people.
And we need to force that conversation. We need to force those that have the levers of power right now, the Democrats, the Biden administration, Chuck Schumer, to have that conversation, because you're absolutely right. Until we have that conversation, we're only going to be dealing with the symptoms and putting Band-Aids on a much bigger problem in our nation.
No doubt about it. And that's why it's an important role. You know, we have limited capacity here in Washington, and we're called to do this important work in terms of laws. And, you know, God ordained the work of government, frankly, to restrain evil and ensure that societies and communities flourish. But without the work of the church, without faith that produces virtue, which produces then true freedom, that triangle we just talked about, ultimately, we'll never get the country back on a course where it needs to be. Based on the inheritance we've had from our grandparents and great-grandparents, we're drifting away from that, Tony. And that's got to be part of the dialogue and the solution for this country to continue to be the amazing leaders that we are and the hope of the world.
Senator, we're up against a break, but very quickly, is there going to be a compromise piece of legislation coming out of the Senate on the issue of dealing with violence?
Well, I think if we really get to the core issue, that's actually going to do something to keep our kids safer, hardening the targets there as it relates to our schools, dealing with the issues of, you know, when you make a threat on social media, that is a felony. These kids who make those kind of threats need to be arrested and charged with a felony. If we were to do that, and we're seeing law enforcement do that across our country in certain cases, that's how you restrain evil. You don't just coddle them, put them through some little mental health counseling and release them. Those deranged young people will commit these horrible, murderous acts. Right. I want my children and grandchildren protected. You charge them with crimes and you lock them up.
Enforce the laws that we have. Senator Steve Daines, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, we're going to continue this conversation when we come back. We're going to be joined by Oklahoma Senator James Lankford. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come.
Religious liberty is the freedom to hold religious beliefs of one's own choosing and to live in accordance with those beliefs. It is an inherent human right. Therefore, Family Research Council's Center for Religious Liberty strives to advance religious liberty for all people of all faiths. Advocates for strong religious liberty protections are often labeled bigots, but for those familiar with the history of religious liberty in the United States, until recently it was embraced by a majority of Americans. In fact, religious liberty has historically had bipartisan support. Today, efforts to restrict this freedom have become increasingly common. Therefore, Christians need to articulate with greater clarity why we support religious liberty and why all people are served when religious liberty thrives. Access the Center for Religious Liberty's free resources to learn more at frc.org/religious-liberty.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you joining us. All right, yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security issued a terror alert stating that the U.S., quote, remains in a heightened threat environment, end quote, and that continued proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding current events could reinforce existing personal grievances and ideologies, and combined with other factors could inspire individuals to mobilize to violence. Well, at the top of that list, those who are supposedly calling for violence are, quote, domestic violent extremists with grievances against the government's failure to secure the border, as well as advocates on both sides of the abortion debate. Now, last time I checked, there wasn't any pro-lifers going out and torching places. It was the pro-abortion crowd. Well, DHS also said it expects an increase in calls for violence as the U.S. enters midterm election season. But is it really violence and calls for violence that the Biden administration is concerned about? Joining me now to talk about this and more is U.S. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma. He serves on five committees, including the Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs. And they just called votes, and so he's joining us by phone off the Senate floor. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. Glad to be with you again, Tony.
I'm going to get into this in a moment because lead on our new news site, Washington Stand, is your op-ed, Our Families Need Us. And that really is at the core of what we want to talk about. But I do want to get your take on the DHS terror alert. What do you make of this?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable for them to be able to lay this out. What I've got to be able to dig in with them is what they have behind the scenes on it to be able to validate that. This reminds me of a year ago when Department of Justice said it was going to start investigating parents and tracking parents that come to school board meetings to be able to make sure that they're not domestic terrorists, actually. Instead of actually dealing with real threats out there, targeting parents at school board meetings or targeting individuals that are politically engaged is the antithesis. And if you want to talk about what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights protects, it is their right to have a redress of grievances with your government. Now, you and I, neither one of us would promote violence. We would have disdain for violence in trying to be able to get someone's attention on this. So this is not about anyone that wants to use violence to be able to have a political means. That is anathema to our American system of government. But we speak out on issues and shouldn't be restrained, and we shouldn't have anyone that is afraid to be able to speak out on political speech or as a parent speaking out at a school board meeting for fear of their own government putting them on a list.
Senator, what was absent in this alert is actually what we've seen happening over the last about 4 to 5 weeks, and that is over a dozen attacks on churches and pro-life resource centers or even family policy councils like we saw in Wisconsin. In fact, the latest just yesterday, a firebombing of a crisis pregnancy center in New York. Why is that not being addressed? I mean, we actually have church services being interrupted, which is a violation of federal law.
It is, actually, and to be able to see what happened also here in Washington, D.C., with a pro-life center that was actually vandalized, and then they spray-painted on the side of the building itself, revenge. So clearly there's a threat, and that individuals that are pro-life that are passionate about the value of every single child are clearly under threat from some individuals out there. And as we've seen even in the last 24 hours, when an individual has now been hit with attempted murder charges on Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh, we don't know all the background on that at this point, but we've clearly seen individuals that are unstable or individuals that are on the left also speaking out on some of these issues that have provided real threats for individuals that just want to be able to speak up for law and justice and the rights of child.
Right. The president, after the shooting in Texas, the elementary school, which is tragic. I mean, every shooting is tragic. And we want to do something. The president said, in God's name, let's do something. Well, I think the first step would be to call on God's name. But in an op-ed that you've, a commentary that you've placed on the Washington Stand, you'd address this. What is this something? This something is going back to some of the elementary aspects of what made America a strong country. Tell us about it.
It is the foundation of our nations, really, around our families. When we have strong families, we have a strong nation. If we have weak families, we'll have a weak nation. For so many of these young men, and it has been young men over the past multiple decades now, committing different acts of violence, we find out they're very disconnected from other people. They have disjointed family situations, all those things, and I don't know this particular family, but we often find drug use, and we find a disjointed family, but we also find it just in our schools. Our structure. There seems to be this desire of the left to say, let's take a vote and to be able to fix our culture. Our culture is not fixed by Washington, D.C. It's fixed by families and communities and churches that are actually engaging in the lives of individuals. But it is foundational with our families. If our family is where we learn work ethic, our family is where we learn staying off drugs, our families learn where we learn how to be able to serve other people, our families where we learn the value of honoring God and others. So all those things come from a family. If the family doesn't actually pass that on, society struggles to be able to instill those values. So while some will charge up for more governments and more government programs, government rises as families collapse. And as a conservative, right, we'll often try to jump on the stack of government and push it down. But really what we need to do is get under families and to be able to lift them up. Anything we can do to strengthen families and parents and those moms and dads will help our nation as well.
Well, and I think what we see with government, every new government program and power that it masses for itself, it crowds out the family. It sends a message to parents. We see this in education. You're not needed. We got this. Stay away. If anything, we need parents back involved again. We will not solve what is ailing America. We will not find the solution without engaged parents and strong families. Because as you mentioned, when you look back, the last study I saw, 82% of these young men came from dysfunctional or broken families. That's tragic.
It is tragic. So again, I come back to the most basic thing. Individuals that can, at their church, through their community, their neighbors, can mentor young families, can help them in engaging with their kids, because we've got some 25-year-olds that are raising a child that literally they didn't see as growing up, and they need just help as well being able to engage, because if they decide, I'm going to have children, but the government's going to raise them, we're in trouble as a culture. It's got to be parents are responsible for their children, and parents have got to step up into that lead. And we've got to continue to be able to challenge parents, take responsibility and engage, because the future of the country rides on how we're raising our kids.
You could not be more on target with that. Senator James Lankford, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for writing that piece on Washington Stand.
Honored to be able to do it. Thanks, Tony, for your continuing work.
All right, folks, check that out. Go to WashingtonStand.com. All right, coming up, the deep blue state of California is not usually seen as a bellwether of U.S. politics, but yesterday's primaries should be sending off bells for Democrats. Warning bells, that is. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Join Family Research Council on an exciting two-year journey through the Bible. FRC's Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan helps you to dive deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into the cultural issues of the day. God has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. By studying the Bible, we can see God's plan unfold throughout the past and be encouraged by how the truth of Scripture is still relevant in our current day and will be into the future. The Stand on the Word reading plan engagingly and thoughtfully takes you through the daily scripture to help you stay grounded in God's truth. You can start this reading plan with Family Research Council today. When you sign up, we'll text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your family and friends. Visit frc.org/Bible to begin this journey through the Bible today. Join Family Research Council on an exciting two-year journey through the Bible. FRC's Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan helps you to dive deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into the cultural issues of the day. God has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. By studying the Bible, we can see God's plan unfold throughout the past and be encouraged by how the truth of Scripture is still relevant in our current day and will be into the future. The Stand on the Word reading plan engagingly and thoughtfully takes you through the daily scripture to help you stay grounded in God's truth. You can start this reading plan with Family Research Council today. When you sign up, we'll text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your family and friends. Visit frc.org/Bible to begin this journey through the Bible today.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. As I mentioned, we're broadcasting from Southern California. We're actually in the studios of his channel. And if you are watching on his channel, tune in tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific time. I'll be speaking at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Yesterday, seven states held their primary elections. And while the results are still being processed and analyzed, the results in one state so far have stood out, California, which saw the overwhelmingly Democratic electorates of Los Angeles and San Francisco, and you know, they're two of the most liberal cities in America. Well, they spoke out very loudly, and the left, I don't think they like what they heard. Here to talk about some of the surprising results from the deep blue state of California is Jonathan Keller. He's the president of the California Family Council. Jonathan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's great to be with you. I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but, you know, California is such a big state. The 4-hour drive was a little bit too much today.
believe me, I know how big it is. I thought it was like driving through another state one time, and I drove from top to bottom. It took me forever. All right. Let's start off with San Francisco, where the DA was ousted. Tell us about the significance of this.
Well, Tony, this is the DA District Attorney Chesa Boudin, and he was elected as part of George Soros' huge progressive prosecutor project several years ago. And I know George Soros is a kind of a name that gets thrown around as a bogeyman in conservative circles from time to time. But in this case, there's no denying this. He actually was trying city by city, and in some cases state by state, to try to elect prosecutors to do that what he could not get done at the ballot box or in the state house. Rather than actually changing laws, rather than decriminalizing things like marijuana possession or prostitution or all sorts of other crimes, he decided to go and have a version of nullification led by these progressive prosecutors. If you can't actually change the laws, you'll just instead decide to not enforce them. And that's exactly what we saw from Mr. Boudin over the last several years. And as you said, even for the deep, deep blue city of San Francisco, one of the most progressive, one of the most, I mean, tragically, even though it's named after St. Francis of Assisi, one of currently the most godless cities, I think, in the country, this was even a bridge too far for them. They looked at the skyrocketing property crime. They looked at the automobile thefts that were off the charts. They looked at the homelessness, the drug use. I mean, Tony, large parts of the city are basically one open-air drug den. And they decided, finally, we cannot go on living like this. Tony, I have a good friend who's a progressive woman. She's a researcher for Stanford University, not exactly a bastion of conservatism. Even she and her family moved out of San Francisco because they were finding used drug needles in their kids' sandboxes at the local playgrounds. I mean, it was at the point where it was totally untenable. And I hope that Democrats and other would-be progressive prosecutors around the country take note of what happened to Mr. Boudin.
I mean, you mentioned this godlessness. Well, that godlessness that's been there for now for decades has resulted in lawlessness. And it is. It's one of the, I mean, it's just, I've been by, I've driven by, I've not gone in and stayed there lately in the last decade. Yeah. But it is the homelessness, the drugs, it's horrible. So alarm bells should be going off for Democrats, because this is an issue of law and order. It's an issue of safety. I mean, when you combine that with the economy, they're not doing so well.
No. And California obviously has some of the highest gas prices in the nation. Tony, I was actually back at a conference in Nashville just last week, and looking around at the gas prices in the mid $4, I was thinking, oh my goodness, what I would give to have those prices in California. I don't think I have filled up my tank for anything less than $5 in months. And I've even seen some friends down in your current stomping grounds, down there in Orange County, they are paying $6 a gallon, even $7 a gallon.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Before we run out of time, a Texas state representative announced over the weekend that he was going to introduce legislation banning drag queen shows that have children in the audience as a result of something that happened in Houston. Well, you have a state senator here, Scott Wiener, who is now proposing to put this into curriculum in K through 12s. And I mean, I would take this guy at his word because, I mean, he's actually authorized and authored legislation that has decriminalized sex offenders and making them not have to file for the registry. And it's now in law. So this guy, you need to take him at his word.
You know, Tony, I wish I could say Senator Wiener, I wish that I could say that he was just being a troll. He is very active on Twitter. He does like to poke fun at anything that is conservative, anything that even has a whiff of Christianity. He really mocks and belittles. But in this case, I think you're right. I wish that we could just say that this was him being kind of a jerk. But sadly, he is one of only 40 elected state senators in the state of California. He has an incredible amount of power. Right now, Tony, he has another bill that's going through that would authorize 12-year-olds to consent to vaccinations on school campuses without parental consent or notification. That could be COVID vaccines. That could be HPV vaccines. I mean, this is the level of disdain that many elected officials in California have for parental rights and for people of faith.
Well, Jonathan Keller, thank you for what you do here in the state of California. We're grateful for your leadership, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony. Always good to be with you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I want to remind you that you can find uniquely curated news and commentary when you head over to our recently created Washington Stand news site. You can find it at WashingtonStand.com or find a link at TonyPerkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.